Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life, your busy day, your busy schedule to join me on the broadcast. Today is Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. Usually, I do the broadcast on Monday and Thursday, but because Becky and I are going out of town for the next several days, I was put in a situation to have to do this broadcast today. And normally, I would be doing this broadcast on October 25th, but I will be out of town that day. October 25th is an incredibly special day of remembrance here on the Cross in the Desert. It was on October 25th, 2014. The dear Rahane Jabari, the beautiful soul, the beautiful fragrance, the rose of Persia, was unjustly murdered, unjustly executed in Tehran, Iran. Her crime, the crime of self-defense. She was victimized with a rape attack by a former government intelligence agent. And she defended herself, Table, and stabbed him. And as a result, he died mysteriously of his injuries because, again, there are so many questions about exactly what happened at that point and what happened in the trial. But for 7 years, this evil government in Iran did everything they could to persuade her to change her story, to say, he didn't rape me. But Rahane, because she is an honorable woman, a truthful woman, a survivor, refused to play this game with them. She was going to make sure that she stood up for what was true and right to the very end. Today on the broadcast, I am reading to you from my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. This is perhaps the most painful broadcast I will ever do. Every year I've done it, it is difficult. And I'm going to be reading to you the events of the night before and the day of Rahane's execution. It had been only 2 hours since Rahane's family had left to see her for the last time. She could still see her mother's tear-soaked eyes staring up at her. She could still feel her mother's arms around her. Now she was all alone in the cold steel coffin of solitary confinement. Rahane fell to her knees and quietly sobbed. She had held her emotions in for too long now, and they finally were gushing out of her. Suddenly, she was interrupted by a tap on the tiny window of the steel door. She quickly composed herself and ran towards the door. It was Sahar. She had a worried look on her face. Sahar stretched her hand through the slit in the door where the food was delivered. She desperately wanted to touch Rahane's hand to comfort her, but Rahane pushed it back. Go! I will lose my strength if I see you. I want to bring you dinner, Sahar replied with a tone of compassion in her voice. I don't have an appetite, Rahane snapped back. But you haven't eaten anything since morning. I don't want to eat anything. Go. Sahar reluctantly turned her back away from the steel door in tears. Promptly at 12 midnight, two guards awakened Rahane from a deep sleep. She was quickly escorted from her solitary confinement cell into a waiting van that would take her to Rajay Shahar prison for the execution. It was about a 90-minute drive, and Rahane was scheduled to be hanged just before dawn. During the 90-minute trip, she sat quietly gazing out the window into the dark and cold October night. For a few fleeting moments, Rahane thought about her birthday. In just 12 days, she would turn 27. Immediately, as she thought about her age, she bowed her head in despair. There would be no celebration this year. The van entered through a steel gate at approximately 1:45 a.m. and came to a halt outside of a large building. Rahane was quickly escorted through the main entrance and processed. The two male guards on each side of her promptly took her into a large conference setting known as the interrogation room. For the next 2 hours, she would be subjected to an intense interrogation for the last time. Rahane sat down on a chair facing the table. Two large Muslim men dressed in gray uniform marched into the room and sat down across from Rahane. The intense lights blinded Rahane's eyes. She lifted her hand up in front of her face and rubbed her forehead to relieve the intense pressure from a headache. She had only slept for 2 hours and was extremely weak and exhausted. She still had a fever and a sore throat. Her stomach began growling from lack of food. Officers from the Mullah and intelligence offices swarmed into a room with a film crew. One of the tall, muscular interrogators looked Rahane intently into her eyes and screamed, "Just say he didn't try to rape you. Just confess that you bought a knife to kill Sarbandi." Hot lights flashed directly into Rahane's eyes. The lenses of the video cameras focused tightly upon her face. Rahane lifted her arms up to protect her face. "Just say he didn't try to rape you," the interrogator screamed once again. Rahane's heart began to race from fear. She desperately wanted to crawl underneath the table and hide. She was weary and exhausted from the same questions and accusations over and over again. Taking a deep breath, she could see her father in her mind's eyes, encouraging her for the last time, staring her in the face, saying, "Be strong. Be strong, Rahane. Don't forget that you are Kurdish." Rahane slowly raised her head up and proudly looked her interrogators in their eyes. "I can't. I won't lie," claimed with a loud voice. Almost on command, two male guards immediately approached Rahane and pulled her up out of her chair. Rahane didn't resist. She had no strength left in her body. Then one of the guards struck her in the face with the palm of his hand. Rahane collapsed onto the floor. The cameras followed her down on the floor. She lay still for a few moments, moaning in pain. Then one of the guards pulled her back up from the floor and sat her down once again in the chair. The interrogator pushed his face up against Rahane's face. Rahane was trembling. She couldn't look at him. You purchased a knife to kill Sarbandi, didn't you? The interrogator demanded. Rahane remained quiet. Suddenly, she felt the heavy palm of a hand strike her firmly on her cheek. Rahane screamed and fell backwards in her chair against the wall. Just say he didn't try to rape you, the interrogator screamed in her face once again. Rahane was so weary. She felt faint. The fever continued to rage within her body. After a brief moment, Rahane slowly raised up her head with the last drop of strength that remained. She gave the interrogator a defiant look from her tear-soaked eyes. I can't. I won't lie. Disgusted, the interrogators kicked Rahane's chair and ordered everyone out of the room. He slammed the door shut. Rahane fell forward and laid her weary head down upon the conference table. At 4:15 a.m., Rahane was escorted back to the van. She sat down in the van and leaned her head back. The van quickly drove away from the large interrogation building down the road towards an open field complex. Within a few minutes, the van came to a halt. Rahane looked out the window and saw a large platform surrounded by bright lights. In the center of the platform was a dangling noose and a tall chair. A sharp pain shot across her chest. She nervously swallowed. The two male guards hurried her out of the van. They walked up a short flight of stairs, arriving in the center of the platform. Rahane could feel the cold autumn air stinging her in the face. This morning, she was wearing the same clothes that she dressed in to see her family for the last time, a white shawl covering her head with colored butterflies, a navy blue chador decorated with tiny white flowers, a navy blue shirt, and black trousers. Rahane stood silently on the platform in the dull, cold night, with the bright spotlights illuminating the stage. Out of the corner of her eye, she noticed Jalal Sarbandi and his family arriving on the platform. They stood a distance of 25 feet from her. Jalal refused to look Rahane in her eyes. Instead, he turned away and held his mother in his arms to comfort her. At that moment, the two executioners, with their faces covered in black masks, took a firm grip of Rahane's arms. They helped her step up on the top of the chair. One of the executioners then firmly placed the noose around Rahane's neck and tightened it. Rahane closed her eyes. Her whole body began to shake with fear. Sweat raced down her cheeks. She took a nervous, deep breath. Flashes from her childhood raced across her mind. She remembered as a little child being afraid to gargle with salt water for fear of choking. The horrible flashback in her mind was now a frightening reality. Rahane took another deep breath. She could see her mother's face and her eyes swollen red from crying. She could feel her arms tightly around her right at this moment. Tears streamed down her face. Then she saw the beautiful face of the Christian girl who had miraculously visited her in her cell. She could see the tiny metal cross in the palm of the girl's hand. Rahane saw herself clutching the cross in her hand. A gentle wave of comfort filled her soul. The pain, the fear, the hurts, and the bitterness began melting away. Rahane stared up at the black sky. Where was God right now? She nervously mumbled to herself. Don't you care? Don't you love me? Rahane then turned her head and for the first time gazed into Jalal Sarbandi's eyes. She could see fear and frustration beaming out from his eyes toward her. Forgive me for the sake of my mother, Rahane whispered out loud. Rahane looked back toward the heavens and took a nervous deep breath. Then she gazed back at Jalal. I swear to God that you will repent later and find out that you were wrong. Later, you will find out that I was innocent. Jalal walked away from the arms of his mother. Rahane swallowed nervously and closed her eyes. With a firm and forceful kick, the chair fell out from underneath Rahane's feet. There was a quick and forceful snap, and then an eerie silence followed. Dangling on a rope, suspended between heaven and earth, the beautiful Rose of Persia breathed her last. Rahane bowed her head and kissed the face of God. My good friend, Shadi Pave, who was responsible for translating almost all of Rahane's prison letters from Farsi into English, a very thought-provoking poem in light of the execution. And I want you to hear it. It's called Final Dawn. Near the horizon of your death, on that desert salmon dawn, how we screamed out your name, but the devil laughed and God slept. No one came but the brazen sun. How we begged, but the beast's stones would not turn. Still no one came at the gallows of your end. Your mother not to be at the foot of your death, far lost in vacant screams of your name. Rehan, Rehan, the moon or sun that kissed your goodbye in my stead? Or was it angels of dawn that carried you away above your broken life? Into their light of beings where you belonged from your first to your final dawn, from dawn to dawn, you shall sleep forever awake. And I wrote a very short chorus to a song in dedication to Rehane, and it's simply entitled The Beautiful Rose of Persia. There is a rose that was silenced, that was crushed, but it will live again. The sun will shine again. You gave us hope, gave us healing, gave us life. Your life will never end. The rose will live again. The sun is going to shine again. The rose is going to live again. Give me wings of freedom so I can fly. I want to fly high. I want to soar. Give me wings of freedom or let me die. I want to kiss the sky. I want to soar. There is an author's note at the end of this chapter. There is some controversy surrounding exactly how Rahane was executed. The traditional way for this type of execution has always been that a member of the victim's family will kick or remove the chair underneath the individual to be hanged. According to a source close to Cholet, very recently the traditional method was stopped at Rajiv Shahar prison and a new method was instituted. The source informed Cholet that Rahane was taken to a room and Jalal pressed a button which caused the floor underneath Rahane to collapse. Unfortunately, I was unable to substantiate this story, and so I describe Rahane's hanging by the usual traditional method. It was maybe 48 hours after the execution that Sholay Pakravan appeared on Fox News being interviewed by Lisa Daftari. It was one of the most emotional and powerful interviews I've ever heard, and I want you to hear it right now on The Cross in the Desert.
The Iranian government executed 26-year-old Rehana Jabari over the weekend. Rehana was hanged for what authorities call premeditated murder, but what she and her family maintained was self-defense against the man who allegedly tried to rape her. After already serving 7 years in prison, her case garnered much international outcry, many believing there was foul play. Fox News did an exclusive interview with Sholeh Pokhravan, Rehana's mother, just a few weeks ago, who urged her daughter's supporters to speak out in an attempt to save her life. She now joins us only 48 hours after her daughter's execution. What was the last conversation you had with your daughter? What was her state of mind?
I went to see Rehana on Friday. It was with my husband, my other daughters, my parents, and my sister. Rehana comforted us, but she knew this was the end. She said there has been increased crackdowns and pressure on all the prisoners. She told us not to mourn her, not to be upset. It's so difficult, but I'm really trying to hold it together and to honor my daughter's wishes.
Had authorities given your daughter any warning? What had they told her?
They told her she had to go in front of his family to be pardoned and forgiven by them. They told her she had to confess that there was no intention of rape, and then maybe they would excuse you from execution. Then they brought in cameras into the room where sentences are carried out. And they kept pressuring her to confess that Zarbandi was not trying to rape her. And Rehana refused.
And you also went to the family to ask them to forgive your daughter, right?
We went to their family many times, begging them to forgive Rehana, but they didn't accept. But unfortunately, the day her execution was carried out, there were so many corrupt people there that they helped the Zarbandi family exit through a back door. Others tried to stop them, to ask them to forgive Rehana, to ask them to drop the charges, but they did it in a way so that we did not run into the family. We didn't have a chance to see them again.
As difficult as it is, take us through the day of the execution, how you were notified, how the family was told that your daughter was killed.
On Friday, when we saw Rehana for the last time, they never told us which prison she would be taken to. We spent the entire night going from one prison to the next, till morning. We were shivering in the cold, both from the cold and from our nervousness. But I tell you, we still had hope. We had hope that Zarbandi's son, Jalal, would finally admit the truth and to pardon my daughter, or at least we were hoping the sentence would be postponed again. It was 7 a.m., and I was sitting in the car because I was so cold. And two of the women came to the car, and as they opened the door, they were crying. In that moment, my entire brain froze. I became paralyzed. Moments later, I just began screaming. I couldn't believe it. They killed my Rehana.
What did the authorities say to you at that point? Did they say anything to you or the family?
Absolutely nothing.
Rehana had so many supporters and advocates around the world. What's your message to those people?
I need your help. I am asking all the countries in the world who defend human rights and women's rights to investigate Rehana's case in international court.
بعد از بررسی مشخص بشه که آیا
Maybe other courts can prove my daughter's innocence. The government's message to the women of Iran was that you cannot defend yourself in the face of rape or violence, or else you'll be executed.
Now I want to talk about the funeral. Were the proper dignities given to your daughter? Were you allowed to bury her in the way that you wanted?
مراسم خاکسپاری در ایران به این شکل که یک شستشو دارن در غسالخانه. اون رو پنهانی انجام داده بودن.
In Iran, we have a custom of preparing the body in a certain way before the funeral. They had secretly done all of this without us. There was heavy security presence there. My husband and I, the rest of the family, we were told by security that we weren't allowed to touch or to get too close. They wanted to carry out the entire burial without us. We pushed our way to the front and begged them to allow us to participate in my daughter's burial. Of course, they didn't listen, and even the burial, our last chance to say goodbye, wasn't in our own hands. Right now in Iran, all of the media is reporting that this man did not intend to rape Rehana and that Rehana had every intention to murder him. I have no way of getting through to any courts here in Iran. In the same way that they killed my daughter, they will continue doing this to young people. They brainwash the people of Iran. They corrupt people's minds.
And I know Rehana left behind a very detailed will. How did she want to be remembered?
Today I cried so much. I was looking at pictures of Rehana. There is such a deep, deep pain in my heart. My beautiful daughter, she was beautiful in every way, a beautiful face, a kind heart. They killed her. What more can I say? She also told me that she believes in an afterlife. She told me not to worry, because in the next world, she would seek justice for the injustice she endured. From the judge, from the officials, from Sarbandi himself, those who tortured me in prison and did not spare me from my pain. My daughter forgave everyone that did this to her. She reminded me to forgive so you can grow, so that your heart can be at peace. Rehana had already forgiven all those who had tortured her. She said she would try to prove her innocence to them in the world to come, but in this lifetime, she had already forgiven them.
I thank you for speaking with us so shortly after receiving this awful news, and I wish you and your family comfort at this difficult time. Thank you for joining us.
What a powerful interview. What a brave and courageous lady the Sholeh is to this day. I have such respect for this woman, how she was able to continue on Rehaneh's legacy by speaking out, which really forced her and her other daughter to flee Iran to find freedom in Turkey and then on to Germany. I want to end this program by sharing with you some final thoughts about how this book has impacted me. Writing this book has been an incredible and painful journey for me. I am very grateful for the courage of Rehaneh's beautiful family for taking the time to share their very painful memories with me so that this book, Rehaneh, A Beautiful Fragrance, could become a reality. A very special thanks to Shadi Pavey, one of the principal translators of Rehaneh's prison letters, for giving me permission to adapt her letters for the storyline of my book. A remarkable event took place nearly 1 year after Rehaneh's execution. In October 2015, just a year later, her best friend Sahar was pardoned. Sahar's family went through an intense struggle, but were finally able to raise the blood money necessary for her release. Shortly after her release, Sahar met with Sholeh for a tearful reunion in her home. I want to end this remarkable journey by sharing with you the blog that I wrote about Rahane's unjust execution just a few hours after it happened. Koda, it is Farsi, for God, God, Rehan, Rehan. For as long as I live, I will never forget the agonizing and gut-wrenching cries of Sholeh Pakravan as she received the tragic news of her daughter's execution. I was quietly praying for Rahane inside of the chapel at work during my break. It was 9 p.m. on a Friday evening in St. Louis and approximately 6:30 a.m. in Tehran, Iran. Dawn had just broken over Rajah Shahar prison, and despite international outcry and a petition containing over 200,000 signatures, the Iranian killing machine hanged 26-year-old Rahane Jabari, an innocent martyr for the crime of self-defense. No doubt the final words of her daughter were racing through Sholeh's mind at that agonizing moment. I love you. I wish I could have hugged you until I died. I had been in the middle of praying when I discovered this haunting video on my cell phone. I stopped for just a moment, and as I watched dear Sholeh in her agony, I wept and pleaded with God for his mercy. I remembered the words of Rahane on one of her letters from prison, in which she cried out for someone to listen to her and to be her voice. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. At that unforgettable moment in the prayer chapel at work, I truly connected with both Rahane and Sholeh. I felt their pain. I was gripped by their suffering and agony. Indeed, I heard their cries, and it is a moment that I will never forget for the rest of my life. The day that this brutal and unforgiving regime hanged Rahane and thrust a sword of injustice through her mother's heart was only 11 days until her 27th birthday. I remember also posting on the Facebook page when I got the news that clarified her execution. I wrote, "With sadness and brokenness, I have to report that our dear Rahane was executed just a few minutes ago. I am truly broken, and yet there is a part of me that is rejoicing because now Rahane is finally safe at home in the arms of Jesus. Death no longer has power over her. The Iranian regime has lost. They can no longer hurt her. Jesus had the final word. We love you and we will miss you, but one day soon we will see you again at the great banquet table in heaven. This is a promise. Jesus had the final word, not the cruel and barbaric Iranian regime. That's true because he rescued her from any more suffering. He is the first and the last. He is the living one. He has the keys of death and Hades." As I pondered this scripture, I was comforted by the fact that Rahane was finally free from the grave of her prison and had been ushered into the arms of a loving Savior. Jesus holds the keys of death in Hades. He has the final word. The many cruel years of torture and injustice had finally come to an end for our dear Rahane. There were a few moments of frustration and sadness for me that God had not spared her life, and yet I realized that he had indeed delivered her and answered my prayers. It was just 10 days until her birthday. For the past 6 years, Rahane had spent her birthday behind the dark, cruel bars of a dirty prison. However, this year, on her 27th birthday, she would finally be free. I want you to hear this very special song from Michael W. Smith. Come see.
weary and ashamed, come near. His arms are open. His arms are open.
A beautiful song of worship with a message for all of us. His arms are open. Rahane was ushered in to the very arms of Christ in the early morning dawn hours of October 25th, 2014. What looked like a tragedy and what looked like a failure was actually a very incredible victory, because the Iranian regime and all of their cruelty and their evil did not have the final word. Jesus did. Jesus has the keys of death and Hades. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe. And he met Rahane at death's door and welcomed her into his sovereign arms, where there is no more pain, where there is no more sorrow, where there is no more death. In the end, she said, perhaps someone in this world will hear my cries and feel my pain. And ultimately, it was God who heard them and felt them. You see, because God himself at one time, when he took on human flesh and became a human being in Christ, understands all about pain. He went through the most incredible injustice, the incredible pain that none of us can fathom. When he was lifted up on the cross, he had pain that none of us can comprehend. And yet he has suffered and endured that pain to save us from our sins. That is love. And so Jesus understood the pain and suffering of Rahane. Jesus understands the pain and suffering in our hearts, those of us that love Rahane. But if we have come to Christ and embraced him as our Lord and Savior, we will one day have the biggest party in heaven that none of us will be able to fathom and imagine. And Rahane will be right there to celebrate with us. You see, because that is the truth. This is reality. That death and suffering, hell and pain is swallowed up in Jesus. And so while we mourn for Rahane's execution and unjust murder almost 6 years ago, we rejoice as Christians that she is no longer in suffering and in pain. This October 25th, please join me in praying for Rahane's family and lighting a candle in her honor and remembering her and all other women in Iran that are suffering just like she did. God bless you. I will see you next Thursday on the Cross in the Desert.